kicking off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Alumni Hall. Check them out online at alumnihall.com.
Any and all gear you need for football or basketball season, I know where to get it.
Weather's turning, Houston. The weather is turning.
Yeah, you've been wearing short sleeve polos and shorts. Now it's time for you to go get some. Ooh, you know what it is? It's hoodie season.
Is it?
Hoodie season. Or, you know, nice three-quarter zip-up season.
My favorite.
Warmer Tennessee hat season. You can get all of that at Alumni Hall and alumnihall.com. Let's see here. Ah, you just missed it. If you don't follow them on Twitter, they did free shipping with a purchase of $30 or more using the code CHILL this week. It is over. If you do not follow them at Alumni Hall UT on Twitter, give them a follow. They're always running specials. They're always running sales, free shipping stuff, promos, giveaways. And they also tweet out images of the newest gear when it comes in. So stay up to date on all your favorite Tennessee gear, all the stuff for your home, your office, your tailgate, your watch party, you name it, they have it at Alumni Hall and alumnihall.com. You want to alert the people?
I guess so, but everybody that's mad can't hear us. I don't know. Maybe they turn the radio on, but
I know.
Our Comcast internet went out.
That's Comcast. That's the provider we have. It's Comcast.
It's the, you know, how they monopolize those public services, so we kind of have to have Comcast to get the level we need. I've got a list. Houston's done a great job putting together backup types of. I don't know that some of the stuff we've talked about, though, wouldn't even help if Comcast is running it. We got to figure out a lot of the ways. I think there is a way.
I've done the research. I do my research. I've spoken with many intelligent people on the matter, one of which, John Tweet. I know what people are thinking. He actually is pretty knowledgeable about that stuff. And then my man Ryan Bird. He's got some info for us that I think might be able to allow us to, probably not the Periscope.
Yeah.
I think we can have a secret dummy backup internet that will at least keep the stream running. We gotta just make it happen and hope that whoever does it doesn't charges to run, you know, like a wire from downtown to here or something to make that work. We can go phone line. We can go really old school if you want.
It's frustrating.
Just get a phone line.
Very frustrating.
It is very frustrating. But here we are. We'll get that fixed. I would imagine a lot of people are going to tune in to this podcast who got cut off on the stream.
Yeah.
Or the Periscope. Sorry. But thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. Where were we? So distracted now.
We were talking about Alabama's quarterback situation. I think we kind of, I mean, I don't know. Is there anything else on that?
We settled on Tennessee's going to get a heavy dose of Jalen Hurts this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Saban, I don't know. I don't know why Tua's in the game this past week at that stage. Like, Saban seems to have this, like, you know, we've got to be perfect, leave the starters in kind of as long as necessary. He does do that.
It's a very NFL mindset.
Yeah. Is that one maybe Achilles heel here? Is that you – I don't understand. We talked about this when Peyton Manning kind of got the break because of injury and ended up winning the Super Bowl, you know, as not his normal, you know, Colts self later with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand why coaches don't manage their talent better in the game of football where injuries
are everything. I feel like he has done that with Tua. The guy only throws like 10 passes a game.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think Tua is probably a bad example. No offense. He has not played a snap in the fourth quarter all season.
Their starting defense was on the field like really late into that Missouri game.
Well, again, it's because I don't think he thinks his defense is good enough, and I think this is basically punishment for not being good enough, is you have to keep playing in blowouts against bad teams to get better. It's like the same thing. The guy gives up that huge play to Ole Miss. They win the game by 60, and the guy doesn't play again for 5 weeks because that's not good enough at Alabama. So it's just the way he does things. I don't know. I haven't seen Pruitt go quite that far, but I do imagine that Pruitt probably has some of that in him.
Yeah,
Is it possible that Pruitt's knowledge of Alabama's defense and defensive personnel could be of obviously some use, but substantial use to Tyson Helton this week. Probably not personnel as much because they're all big, strong, fast. But, hey, if you show him this and actually do this, that's a good way to get a big play. Not that anybody has apparently cracked the Alabama defense code.
Well, David Ubben just kind of wrote the scheduled post of the year. You know, no Alabama assistant has ever beaten Nick Saban. They're 0-13
right
against him. He talked to Will Muschamp about, you know, what makes Saban so good. I thought the first quote he runs with Muschamp is, Muschamp just says, well, he always has better players. So it's you always start at a disadvantage when you play Nick Saban to begin with.
Incredible insight there from Will Muschamp.
Will Muschamp, yeah. But then he also said that what makes Saban great is he's always changing. You know, he's always developing his, you know, and updating. I think, and Jimbo Fisher kind of talked to that too. Like, Saban's offense right now is nothing like it was back when any of those guys worked with him.
No, not at all.
The defense may be similar, but
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, offensively, no, but defensively, I mean, it's the same thing, right? It's the same system.
And hasn't Tennessee been kind of practicing against that defense all year?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Do you know which former assistant Nick Saban? There's a tie actually at the top, but which former assistant Nick Saban has played the most as a head coach?
Who?
Derek Dooley.
Makes sense. They play,
0-3.
They play every year.
And Jim McElwain. One of those was at least at Colorado State.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you're familiar with some of the, or, you know, a lot of the defensive techniques and stuff, but I don't know that any of that's a real secret. I mean, that stuff's on tape every week. You know, the defense doesn't craft new ways to attack nearly as much as offensive guys are always trying to come up with a new look to try and give a defense. So I mean, does it help? Maybe a little.
Okay. Well, that was the question.
Yeah.
Does it help a little or substantially?
Yeah,
and so a little bit. Okay. Yeah. It's just better players. Going back to what Will Muschamp said, I mean, just they got better players, and so they're going to be better, and that's just kind of the way it goes. Unfortunately, that is the way of the world when you're at Alabama. I totally get that. I think that's probably been and will continue to be the biggest challenge for any coach in the SEC when it comes to Alabama. You know what makes it frustrating is you've seen it. Right, Auburn can put together a number one or two class. A&M right now is sitting on the number one class. You've had LSU up there at the top, but it seems like they can't do it consistently. Mm-hmm. They'll go number one, number six, number nine. Bama's always right there in the top three. They're always loaded, and they have easily the best player development of any team in the country. So to catch them, man, it's not an overnight thing. You've got to put a lot of different stuff together. You've got to hit on the right group of guys just to do it for 1 year, right? Probably get a couple of transfers or a JUCO guy just to do it for 1 year to sustain it is the hard part. That's where recruiting comes in, and no one has been able to recruit the way Alabama recruits. As much as I hate Will Muschamp, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to beat a good coach when it's even, but when they always have way more talent than you, it becomes almost impossible. Troy asked earlier, is it possible that Saban's feelings towards Jeremy Pruitt changed the way he coaches this game? I would say no, robots don't have feelings. I don't think Nick Saban is going to be over there either going extra hard or taking it easy on Jeremy Pruitt because he likes Jeremy. Although he did have a pretty interesting quote yesterday saying that Tennessee plays with toughness. They have a good coach now. They are much improved from a year ago. They have made a big improvement, Saban says. That is really weird when the old head coach is your offensive intern. That's really weird that with Butch Jones on his staff, he says, yeah, they're so much more improved than they were this time last year. They're so much better right now than they were last year. It's insane. With the ex-coach on your staff, I wonder, has Nick Saban forgotten that Butch Jones is on the staff?
I did.
Does he know? You did?
For a bit. Like, I mean when you were talking about that comment, like, that's one of the big surprises for me this season, that there's not been more discussion about Butch Jones or
because he's so in the background, it's like not even funny anymore. Remember, it was funny when it first happened because they got that weird picture of him in the bookstore buying his gear because, you know, interns don't get gear.
Yep.
But since then, he's not on the sideline, I don't think. He was on the sideline at the spring game. You just don't see him. A couple shots from practice. But this quote from Saban, especially this week, just stirs it all right back up. Oh, yeah, they're way better than they were with that other guy last year. Who is he? Oh, he's my intern. Oh, oops. Sorry, buddy. Like, what a pat-your-head moment by Nick Saban to Butch Jones.
You think he forgot or he just doesn't care?
Either or.
You started saying that, and I'm like, Davey, I didn't realize why that even mattered at first.
I think if you asked him the question, he would be like, you guys, and like, oh, yeah, that guy is on my staff. But I don't think he walks around remembering that there's a former SEC head coach as an offensive intern on his staff. That's why I think when he – like, I don't think a coach, even Nick Saban, as mean and nasty as he is, I don't think he does this to one of his own staff members if he knows the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you would say – the other team's way, way better with my old guy than they are with my new guy, or were with my new guy. He blessed your heart, Butch Jones, and probably didn't even know Butch Jones was on his staff. Yeah, they're way better with Pruitt than they were with their other coach. What's his name? Sir, that man is your offensive analyst. He brings you coffee every Tuesday. Oops.
You want an update on the quarterback position?
For this weekend?
Yeah.
Is there one?
Apparently.
Do you want to tease it or do you want to just give it?
I guess we need to hit a break. We'll do a quick one. We'll come back with that on the flip side. Stick with us right here. It's Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment brought to you by 245 Tech, your local web development company right here in Knoxville. If you need to integrate your e-commerce, check them out online at 245tech.com. I guess we should have maybe noticed. Well, no, this didn't get posted until like 8:26 this morning, Houston, but it was from, I guess, late last night.
This is the Bama quarterback update.
Yeah, Tua went on the late SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt.
Okay.
Said his knee is fine, that he's doing much better than he was after last week's game, heading into the Missouri game. Hmm. And also, maybe the most notable piece of news, he went through the full practice on Monday.
All right. It's worth a shot. We tried.
Is Saban going to just run him into the ground? Is this going to be the one reason they don't win the national championship this year?
Do you think he cares? Do you think Saban's going
to... I mean, I'd care for the playoffs. I'd care for when you have to play Ohio State in January.
No, they're not winning. They're not winning by enough.
Tua said, I'm fine. I got to go out to practice today. I'm a lot better than I was last week after the Arkansas game. I mean, the injury looked bad on the field. I just retweaked it, kind of. I got some treatment after the game this morning leading up to practice. We're a lot better. We're much better. It's weird that he said we. It's like him and his knee. I think two different...
Yeah, perhaps.
Things.
Maybe just him and his team now. They're so much better with him out there. Is that what they mean? All right.
So I guess it's Tua Tagovailoa this Saturday.
It's a big hit to Optimism Tuesday. It's a big hit.
Sorry.
It's a big hit for Optimism Tuesday. Except now, yeah, maybe, well, now
maybe Davey's right. Maybe.
Now they're playing a hobbled quarterback.
Maybe a banged up Tua isn't that bad. Jalen Hurts was 7 of 8 for 115 against Missouri the other night.
How good is Tua when he can't move from the pocket? That's the question. Probably not as good.
It's probably not true. He's really good.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to watching Tua just shred this weekend, but he's done it to everybody, so I won't feel too bad.
Saban also has talked about Raekwon Davis, who the punching guy.
Yeah, if anyone missed that, he tackled the Arkansas ball carrier, Missouri ball carrier, and then threw five punches to his midsection and chest,
and no one saw it.
He did like
apparently.
The Clubber Lang, like left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, real fast. And the SEC, of course, stepped in and did absolutely nothing, as they always do.
Oh, but
they called no penalty during the game because it's Alabama. And then Greg Sankey and Nick Saban had a private discussion, and they both agreed this will be handled internally. Okay. No bias towards Alabama whatsoever. Not at all. Was that in the second half? It was, wasn't it? And they didn't want him suspended for the first half of this game?
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
I didn't get a chance to mention it when you talked earlier, but Daniel Batuli, who was one of your either award or stat winners.
He was a first-team all-SEC linebacker this week based on his grade.
He's out Football Focus. For first half of Alabama, for the first half of Alabama, because of his targeting call in the second half of the Auburn game.
Sure, why not?
But punches, I mean, that's absurd. Like, punches are...
And not one punch.
No.
Five.
Yeah.
Like, did.
You can, we were talking about this yesterday after the show, like, you can commit targeting without intent.
Sure.
You can't throw punches without intent. Not after the play, at least.
Super intent.
I mean, Peanut Tillman used to punch the ball out.
You can't throw five without...
Right.
Supernatural intent.
I don't think that's true, but I get what you're saying. Like, it makes no sense. Shouldn't the SEC be
extraordinary intent?
Okay, so does that mean if you don't get caught on the field, like, they won't suspend you?
I don't understand that at all. So if he had pulled out a little knife and stabbed the guy, but they didn't call it on the field, he's handled internally this week?
It's not, like, they've had situations where they've gone back and reversed situations in the past.
What happened to the guy that did the thing in the pile? Was it the Clemson player? Did he get suspended?
Oh, no, nothing, I don't think.
Like, isn't that the worst thing in football? Like, so if I go down, if I tackle a guy by the leg and under the pile, I, you know, hurt him.
Yeah.
And they don't see it in the game, but they see it on film, and it's very obvious. Like, in this situation,
you should absolutely be held accountable due to a later video review when it comes to acts of intentional physical violence.
I would say so.
Without question.
Yeah.
Without question. If that had happened on the street and you just walked up and five punched a guy and a security cam caught it, you're held accountable.
Exactly.
But because he did it on a football field, it doesn't count. I'm so confused.
No, I mean, like, all other leagues, you're accountable for things you do that are not within what would be defined as the scope of the game. And that definitely was not within the scope of the game.
What's even more embarrassing for the SEC, coming off the heels of last week in which we painted the picture of the SEC's bias straight towards Alabama, the commissioner is well aware of this play and just said, okay, Nick, you can handle it. What? Why does Alabama continue to get to set their own rules regarding punishment? Why does that get to happen?
Makes no sense. I mean, it makes sense, but it makes no sense in a fair and just world.
He doesn't do anything. He just says he always plays the, we give everybody a second chance card,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to handle this internally card. Has he ever suspended a player for a game and just said, yeah, we don't allow that here?
Not really.
Only if you give up a touchdown on the first play of the game?
They kicked off the player who threw a punch at the coach, but...
Wasn't that something different later?
I thought that guy transferred.
He did, but it was you're pretty much not welcome back here.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that, because that guy played again later that night and made a big play.
Yeah, it was for something else later. What happened to the gun
they
guy?
They don't need... Oh, he played...
He sat a quarter, right?
Maybe. Yeah, he was found in Louisiana with guns and drugs.
Yeah.
And then they blamed the police for being biased towards him because he was an Alabama player and they're LSU fans or something.
Right.
And people bought it because Nick Saban said it. The fact that I have a lot of respect for Greg Sankey. I think he's doing a great job. The fact that Greg Sankey saw that, talked to the coach about it, and just said, oh, yeah, it's fine. Could you be any more blatant? Could you please be more blatant that Alabama has to follow a different set of rules than everybody else? And then explain to me how that makes sense for the conference. They don't need your help. They're already the best. Stop. Stop helping them. It's too obvious now. You've let it go too far.
I mean, it's not going to matter for the season
at all
in this game, but like, imagine if LSU was next week or something. Like, you have to have some standards. You have to have some rules.
Everyone else does. Daniel Petulia makes a football play with no intent to injure, misses a half. This guy makes a non-football play with intent to punch the other person multiple times on the ground. We'll handle it internally. Are you kidding me?
No.
Have some huevos, Greg Sankey. I swear, Nick Saban's the commissioner of the league. Greg Sankey just sounds good in an interview.
Just pretend.
And he'll do more of them. It's embarrassing.
Tomorrow is Punishment Wednesday here on the program. I've heard from a lot of people, Houston, that...
I'm disgusted at how many people have sent in disgusting condiment suggestions to you two. It is disgusting to me.
I think we're being a lot easier than what a lot of those suggestions are.
Maybe you are. I'll know tomorrow.
You should be glad that we're in charge of this.
I am disgusted. I am offended. I am hurt. I am angry. I am confused. Why on earth have so many people come out of the woodwork to say, well, there's this super secret condiment that they only serve at this one restaurant in Thailand, and it's liquefied fish brain mixed with monkey butt. I'll ship it here tomorrow. I'll air it over.
Let us know how you really feel.
It'll only cost $100 one day shipping, but I want Crest to have to eat it on the radio.
People love you, buddy.
What's going on?
They love you.
I was hoping like mustard, ketchup, mayo, water, maybe hot sauce. And you guys are good. So some of the things people have sent in. Was it Janeway who sent you like 50 things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually like
my phone was blown up yesterday.
And I was just
that
like,
maxed out my Twitter notifications just on his suggestions.
I just went to the bottom of the thread, the last one he sent. I was like, please stop. They do not need this. I do not need this.
I think we have a very good list.
Are you guys shipping things in from out of town?
Us personally, no.
Oh my! So that great, great.
Maybe just
everything for your all's challenge has been local, and I had to do it myself. Now you guys have outsourced the one challenge that
we didn't ask. They just did.
Fan Run Radio.
You didn't say no, did you?
Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio.
I think there's only one item, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be 10 of Janeway's.
Unless a bunch of stuff just shows up here tomorrow and we're like, all right, let's roll with it.
I'm offended.
Offended?
I am. I'm a little offended.
Is that the right word?
Yes. I'm offended and hurt.
Hurt.
Yeah, I was about to say hurt's probably a better.
No, it's offensive. It's offensive that so many people would take joy in my suffering.
Well, Davey sent me the list.
I do a lot around here for the people.
You do.
Right?
Yeah.
I try to do a lot. I don't brag about it. Real G's move in silence, like lasagna. Well, now I'm bragging about it.
He's the most humblest.
Because I want some sympathy. And I am the most humble. And except for today, because I've got to prove that I do some work around here. Yeah, I'm not the loudest. Not the craziest. I work hard behind the scenes. And people think they can walk all over me and make me eat Vegemite. Make me eat. Somebody sent in ghost pepper hot sauce. I would die.
You would.
If they put more than a drop in that thing and they're like, make him drink that.
I'm not going to do that to you. What have I done to you people? You wouldn't be able to do the show then.
Yeah.
I'd be worthless.
I know.
More so than usual. Which is a joke because I work around here a lot.
We were pretty fair and easy on you when it comes to types of spicy / hot.
Yeah,
condiments.
I'll be the judge of that.
Davey sent me the list. I thought it was very fair. It was a very fair list. I will say.
I like two ingredients to buy today.
No, expect it from you guys. I expect it from you.
I thought the listeners might even take up for you. Is that what you're saying?
I had many, many people reach out to me and say, this might be the worst challenge on deck because of the just incredible amount of options. See, in your terrible smoothie, there was still a random draw. You could have drawn the banana, the berries, the juice, the pineapple, or the coffee. You chose coffee. And the other good ingredient. It was random. It was luck. You know? It was just the baby food. That's so bad. It's not that much. I mean, it's baby food. Babies eat it. It can't be that bad. You guys are scouring the earth for condiments. Think about the range of flavors that condiments have. Mm-hmm. Just think. Mm-hmm. I mean, whipped cream, probably technically a condiment. As is soy sauce. As is hot sauce. There's your triangle of sweet, savory, hot. You guys can go nuts. So not only do you already have the aisle in the grocery store with the most options on it, now you have people flying in stuff from other countries because that aisle alone is not enough to disgust Kress on air enough to our satisfaction? What have I done to you people?
We didn't fly anything in from other countries, did we, Davey? I mean, this is all U.S.
No,
products.
Yeah.
You're telling me this this animal is caught in this country? You're telling me this is not an out-of-country?
I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, that's what I thought. Because you don't know.
I questioned one of Davey's items, and he said it was in the condiment aisle at Kroger. So that counts.
In the condiment aisle.
Right. It's not even a bad one. Like, it was just a question. Like, is that really a condiment? He said it was in the condiment aisle with the condiments. It's probably one of the better ones, actually.
I expect it from you guys. Don't know why the listeners had to feel so inspired to ruin my day tomorrow.
In their defense, you could have limited how this challenge was set up.
He was looking forward to this challenge, just not for himself. Yeah. He liked this one. I remember him bragging about it.
I still would have gotten them all out of one grocery store aisle. Well, maybe two if they didn't have something I was looking for. Shipping it in from out of town.
Well, I will tell you this. At least at my wife's work, you have created so many more listeners than the normal. Like, there are people that would never listen to just traditional sports talk. And they ask
but
her.
But they're going to tune in on Wednesday?
They ask her every week, who lost? What are the punishments? People have signed up for Twitter and Periscope only because of this game.
I guess that's a good thing.
They know about our station only because of this game.
The brand is strong.
There you go.
What are we doing for basketball season?
It's a good question. We may have to come up with something.
I guess we will. We will have to come up with some type of game for basketball season. I don't know.
Do you think this will be the worst one yet?
I think it could be. In fairness,
it's got to be similar to his.
In fairness,
the smoothie was the worst of mine.
In fairness, I did not taste that smoothie. No chance was I gonna taste that thing. I knew what was in it.
My guess is it'll be about the same level of badness as that.
I'll taste this.
Yeah, and you can give us a report. Which is worse or better? But it's happening tomorrow, so tune in.
I'm excited.
Houston's excited about it. We'll come back. Final segment of the program's Three and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Final segment of Three and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. All phone calls today brought to you on the McKinney Team phone lines. They've got one simple philosophy. The client comes first. If you're buying or selling in the Knoxville market, check them out online. The listings are at ZillowKnoxville.com. That's ZillowKnoxville.com to check out all the listings. And even if you're not in the market, you can just to support our sponsors, you can go like their Facebook page, and that will keep them in mind the next time you need to buy or sell, even if it's, you know, later this year, early next year, all that kind of stuff. It's the McKinney Team with Keller Williams, and the client comes first. We're into the final segment here on the program. And I feel like we still haven't gotten to a lot of the stuff that happened even over the weekend in college football. Some big teams went down. We did talk about LSU-Georgia yesterday. Davey, what happened to your West Virginia Mountaineers? Houston even pointed it out on Friday. We all should have put the money on the over-under.
Oops.
And then Houston also correctly pointed out that they could lose every single game left.
Halfway through the season, people figure out that offense. Seems like it happens every year, and it looks like Iowa State figured it out on Saturday.
It wasn't even close.
I did not see a single play from that game, and I did not find out the score until around 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
I guess it was technically it was 20-14 at halftime, and still 20-14 throughout the entire third quarter.
Matt Campbell earning that paycheck.
Iowa State scored 10 fourth quarter points to win, going away 30-14. Matt Campbell was a hot name. He should have left Iowa State when he had the chance. Now maybe this kind of gets him back in the, the good graces of the perception of coaches that could move up to a better job. But Iowa State now only 2-2 in the Big 12 and 3-3 overall. What a huge win for them, though. West Virginia on the road, they were sixth in the country. And now, I mean, people are talking about playoff possibilities
playoffs.
For the Mountaineers. I guess there's still a shot, but they have to win every single game. Notre Dame survived 19-14 over Pitt. We talked about that last week, too. Like, yeah, Notre Dame should win all the rest of their games. I love how driving in each morning on Outkick the Coverage, Clay Travis always talks about these teams like, it's a definite foregone conclusion that just everything will go according to plan. We even had callers last week kind of debating, okay, this team's going to win these games, this team's going to win these games, all this kind of stuff. And immediately Georgia loses and just changes all that talk.
You got throttled in the process.
Washington lost a second game to Oregon.
As we kind of figured.
You correctly predicted.
Well, some of us figured.
That one. And Penn State went down to Michigan State, 21-17.
Bad year for James Franklin.
Yeah, that eliminates.
Really, really bad year so far for Jimmy Frank. It has not been good. Horrible, horrible call. Loses you the game against Ohio State that could have vaulted your season to something super spectacular. And now this. Brutal. Just brutal. But at least we don't have to talk about Penn State anymore. And maybe now we should be talking about, is James Franklin severely overrated?
Severely?
Severely overrated.
Maybe just overrated.
I think he might be severely overrated.
Severely. Is the Big Ten crap? Maybe that's another question.
It's Ohio State and a bunch of crap, I think. I think it has a lot of overrated coaches outside of Urban Meyer.
Michigan did win.
Yeah, I was going to say the Pac-12 and Big 12 no longer have any undefeated teams.
Yep.
Texas is undefeated in conference play, but they did lose that season opener to Maryland.
Texas got their quarterback hurt.
Saw that.
And went on to beat Baylor 23-17. Hold on. They didn't score a point in the second half of their game against Baylor. So Texas scored 23 in the first half and held on to win by 6 over Jalen Hurd and Baylor. So that, I mean, that's kind of weird. We thought we had the playoff thing all sorted out last week, or at least kind of the paths. Now you're kind of left with only 4 teams that are the clear playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so if those teams start to go down at all, it's going to get really weird in a hurry. Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama. What?
I mean, I don't know how good Notre Dame is, but they are there, and they probably are going to go undefeated. It just breaks your heart. Breaks my heart.
USC looked good. So I'm thinking maybe there's a chance that they play spoiler at the end of the year at home, last game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
USC could
don't forget
USC
they get,
put it on
they
Colorado.
They get Dino Babers and Syracuse too, don't they?
Yes.
Look out.
Davey just brought that up. Like, Colorado was undefeated in the Pac-12. USC beat their brains in on late Pac-12 after dark. So there's – but, yeah, Notre Dame's schedule. It's, what, Florida State, Syracuse at USC?
I believe so.
My Washington State Cougars have only one loss, so, and that's to USC, which
– not looking so bad now.
They're not out. I mean
– they have a big game this weekend, don't they? Mike Leach.
They need to get some e-cred. Only 23 at 5-1.
Yeah,
they got to get some.
They host Oregon Saturday 7:30.
There you go. There's how you get that cred. And they end the season with Washington. They run the table. They're going to be in the hunt and in the mix, as they say.
They'll be right there.
Because that would be two really good wins. Granted, they're over Pac-12 teams, but still.
Ooh, they've already set the time for the Washington State game at the end of the season for.
Really? Already set it?
Yeah, it's on a Friday at 8:30, so that'll be the Friday after Thanksgiving.
They've also set the game time for Tennessee at South Carolina for 7:30, in case you missed that yesterday. 7:30 p.m., Columbia, game time.
That's not bad. I mean, it's an away game. I don't mind having the night games whenever you're playing on the road.
I never mind having the night games. Don't matter where I play. I just don't want the noon game at home. Never.
Yeah, noon game at
noon,
home.
Noon game at home just makes it tough. But, like, Saturday was fine. I don't mind waking up. Well, I mean, I was on the lake, but typically, you know, you wake up, have breakfast, boom, game time. Not bad when they're on the road. Home games, not the same thing. I want time.
Michigan and Michigan State play this week at noon on Fox. That's kind of weird.
It's at Michigan State,
At Michigan State. So, I guess
this feels like one that
a lot of those
this feels
party's
like,
going to win this, right?
Yeah, this feels like one that
Harbaugh's
Michigan drops that Harbaugh's like, everyone's like, oh, Harbaugh, he fixed it. Everything's fine. They're 6-1. And then all of a sudden, a bad Michigan State team sneaks up and beats you.
I don't like how they set a lot
Maybe
of these
bad,
games at like noon on a yearly basis.
Yeah, like Ohio State, Michigan always being at noon.
Noon. Mm-hmm. The Red River Shootout. It's always at noon.
Showdown.
Yeah.
Whatever. Always at noon.
I don't know. I still, whenever I think about this Michigan-Michigan State game, of course, the play that comes to mind is the block punt. Michigan State returns it.
Oh man, well, how would that have changed that season? That's crazy. Michigan's, you know, they're in good shape. They're in position to do something and to make that Ohio State game at the end of the year matter. But, you know, are they, again, just a team on paper right now? They're ranked sixth in the country. They don't feel like they're that good. But when I look at other teams, it gets hard because, like, there's only a few, like, teams where you feel like you know what you're getting. Another interesting game this weekend, Saturday, 3:30 on ESPN, same time as Alabama-Tennessee, of course, NC State travels to Clemson. This could be one of Clemson's toughest tests left on the schedule. NC State up to 16th in the country now. They're undefeated at 5-0. Clemson, of course, 6-0, number 3 in the country. Trevor Lawrence back and all that good stuff.
Ryan Finley's looking good. Quarterback for North Carolina State.
What if Cole Kublik was a year off? NC State in the playoff this year?
Yeah.
No? You're not buying that?
Yeah, run with that one if you want to, but yeah.
Clemson's got NC State this week, and then the rest of the way, if you're looking for places where they might trip up, they go on the road to Florida State, then they have Louisville, Boston College, Duke, and they close with a home game against South Carolina.
David Cutcliffe, big win over Georgia Tech this past weekend.
Big David Cutcliffe.
He's just quietly just...
Loves David Cutcliffe.
Yep.
It was a nice win for Duke.
Just doing his thing. Winning, going to bowl games, having Duke at levels they haven't seen in forever. It's pretty good.
They're just like a good team every year now because of David Cutcliffe. It's not even surprising that they, you know, win some games that no one thinks they can win. I think they're still the, oh, yeah, they're Duke. It doesn't really matter. But he's, at least for me, he's changed, and probably because I knew about him at Tennessee and know how great of a coach he is.
On the way out.
But it's not surprising to me.
Yeah. On the way out, you asked this question. Why did LSU fans rush the field for the Georgia win?
Yeah, did I miss something?
I mean, they were number two. Is that?
And they killed them. They were fined $100,000 by the SEC for that rushing the field. But you're LSU.
Six figures.
I don't know. That makes LSU seem like they don't remember how good they can be or how good they are this year.
Would you be fine with it if they beat Alabama next week?
Yeah, like, that's fine. I get that. Any team that beats Alabama, go ahead. Mm. Especially if you're LSU and haven't done it in a while. But that just felt so small time.
John makes a good point about flipping back to that NC State-Clemson matchup. NC State's the team that had them beat. Could have beat them the last 2 years. Maybe that'll get interesting.
So strange. Yeah, again, NC State and Clemson is always close.
Well, we're back online. Appreciate you listening. Talk Sports is next. It's John Reed, Cody McClure, and the one and only Ben Lee. Stick with us right here. Keep it locked in to Fan Run Radio.